It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Sounds a little hot up here, brother. I enjoy worship. I enjoy being in the house of the Lord. I can't hear myself at all. I just want to make sure y'all hear me okay. You got your Bible, we're going to read in John chapter number 19 this morning, and we're going to try to bring to you the thing that God has really had on my heart this week. And enjoy that singing. I really do, and enjoyed seeing these young people up here. It's a blessing. You know, we got some more that when you're not looking at them, they do a fantastic job. But they say, I just don't want to get up in front of people. Let's just keep praying for them and encouraging them and telling them how important it is and how proud of them that we are, that they'd be able to come and serve the Lord. You know, there's a whole lot out in the world that the world's got to offer, right? And, oh, I'm going to have to get rid of this thing. I hope y'all don't mind. All this stuff the world's got is a counterfeit for what God has for you. And I'll tell you something that I believe. I believe that people are getting to the point that they've had just about all of the garbage force-fed to them that they can stand. You turn on primetime television and you can't look at it without being fed garbage. Now, I'm going to get to the message in just a minute because we're in the house of God this morning. And I'm just an old-fashioned preacher. That's just all that I am. God called me. My mama didn't. And, you know, the Lord has got work for us to do. And until we get to recognizing and serious about doing it for Him, we're going to miss what He's got for us. But, you know, I want to tell you something. I believe people are recognizing and realizing there ain't a whole lot out there in that world that's going to satisfy. If you've got everything the world's got to offer, what have you really got if you don't have Jesus? What have you got if you don't have peace with God? And I'm tired of being force-fed garbage. Okay? That's why I like to come to church. That's why I like to see people get up and sing. Young people sing about the Lord, and we have events here, and that's why we're as busy as we are. We want people to know and understand that you can have a good time at the house of the Lord. Amen. And I'm just going to have to say this. You don't have to be miserable to be a Christian. Amen. Okay, I'm a Christian. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm not miserable. Okay, there's nothing out there in this world that I feel like I'm missing because I'm serving God. Okay, I'm happily being able to serve the Lord. The biggest problem I got is me. And when I get to dealing with me, Brother Billy, that's when the devil shows up. Okay? You know, a lot of times people say, well, I've been fighting the devil all week. Have you been fighting the devil, or are you just not willing to surrender to God? Because, see, when I surrender to God, that's when the devil shows up. You know why he shows up, Brother Tommy? It's because when people start getting a mind that we're going to do what God wants, and we're going to do it God's way, and we're going to lift the Lord up, he doesn't like it. You know why? Because he starts losing. You know what happens? Alcoholics start following Jesus and being Sunday school teachers. We have people that used to take drugs deciding, I'm going to surrender my life to God, and I'm going to be what God wants me to do and be. And he starts losing. You remember? The things that happened back during World War II, and they said, you know, we just left the church doors open, and people would come, and they would come into the church, and they would pray during the week. We were talking this morning about how many of you grew up with a church bell? How many of you ever were in a church that had a church bell you ring? You ever miss that sound? I want to tell you something. Brother, we're going to expand this place soon. Hey, just something else I realize that we need. We need a church bell. I want to ring it loud enough that they can hear it. You know what it is? It's a reminder. It's a reminder that it's Sunday morning. And we need to be in the house of God. Now I want to preach about something else this morning that is a reminder. It's the cross. You know, and the message that I want to bring to you this morning that God's laid on my heart is dealing with the cross of Christ. Every person's going to have to deal with the cross of Christ. Now I want to read this scripture first. Excuse me, out of John chapter number 19 and verse number 17, speaking of Christ, and it says, and he, and that's referring to Jesus, said, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Now, I want us to understand something this morning as we look at, and I like the cross that's behind me here. You know, I've thought about when we expand the church, about it'd be nice to have a built-in baptismal. Oh, yeah. Lord willing, I want us to have that one day, but you know what I do not want to do? I do not want to give up the cross. I don't want to put the baptismal right behind me. I've seen churches, and it's beautiful, where you go in, and they've got the baptismal built, and they've got the rock waterfall, and sometimes the water even runs during service. Now, folks, it's beautiful, but I'll tell you something. I like the cross. I had a man recently, someone was sharing with us. They said he gets invited all over the country to go preach in places. He said the first thing he does when he gets there, he says he sends an ambassador inside the church, and he said, I want you to go in the church, and I want you to see if you can find a cross. He said, I want to be able to go in and know that when I walk into this place that I'm walking into church. He said, one place he went, they went in and he said he looked around and he said it was just like any other place that you'd go. There was no way of knowing when you walked inside you were in a church. He said, when the man came back and told me, he said, well, let's go. Now here he had flown from another part of the country. He had rented a car, he had driven, but he said, let's go. Now you say, well, that's a little extreme, but I want you to think about something. What do you think about when you see the cross? You go up to Pigeon Forge and you're coming into Pigeon Forge, driving over the mountain from what they call the little town of Townsend. And as you're coming into Pigeon Forge, there is an absolutely giant cross that's on the mountain right there. You know, when I go, the last time I was there, they had built a hotel and it was kind of at an angle over here. And I thought to myself, I don't want anything that's going to block the view of the cross. You know, there are some people that's the only time they think about the cross is when they see that cross displayed. That's why when I'm going down the expressway or going through a different town and I see the crosses displayed, you know what it is? It's a reminder that there is a God. It's a reminder that there is a Savior. It's a reminder that there is something more important than what you and I most of the time spend our lives thinking about. You know, I've seen preachers standing on the street corners preaching in my lifetime. You probably have too. In fact, there are times in my life that I've had to sit in the car while my dad got out and preached. And I can remember some of those times, and I didn't understand it. One time we were down near the train tracks down off of Marietta Boulevard, and my dad, he was nervous, and he said, I just got to pull over. And he pulled over and he got out on the railroad tracks and he began to preach and he walked up and down those railroad tracks. And you can say, well, that wasn't God. I'll tell you, God was all over him. And he could not help himself. And he got out there and he preached. And he went up and down the railroad tracks. And you know, I don't know who was around to hear it, but God had a purpose. But I want to tell you something that I saw that was the most impressive street preaching that I've ever seen in my life. I was up on, I think the road is Barrett Parkway that goes to the mall. And there's a big Chevrolet GMC dealership right there. And as I was going down the road, I looked over and there was a guy and he had a cross. And the cross was so big that he could barely carry it. And he was just walking back and forth down the sidewalk. And as he walked and he had the cross over his shoulder and he would go as far as he could and he would turn around and he would walk back. He wasn't saying any words. He wasn't speaking anything. But I guarantee you that every person that walked by, they got the message. Every person that drove by, they got the message. Because all he was saying is remember the cross. All he was saying is what are you going to do with the cross? All he was saying is do you understand what the cross means? Do you understand the value of the cross? And it was very impactful in my life. You see, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I was saved when I was 12. I think I was, I don't know, probably in the, it was in the ninth grade. I'd have to count the years as to how old I was. But that's when God told me that I was going to be in the ministry. But you know, sometimes the truth is, we need to just look back at the cross. Do you believe in the cross? Do you believe in the message of the cross? You see, I want to share with you some things this morning about the cross and the message of the cross. If you look at the cross, sometimes people carry and they wear the cross around their neck. Sometimes the cross is on a bracelet. I actually have on my wedding ring, and this is something that my wife and I decided when we got married almost 30 years ago, I have a cross. She worked part-time when she was in high school and bought me this ring. It's got a cross in it. But I want you to think about that cross for just a minute. You don't ever see anybody wear an electric chair around their neck, do you?
No.
You don't ever see anybody with a hangman's noose around their neck. Or maybe even a rifle that's used in a firing squad. But here's the first thing I want you to understand about the message of the cross. Is the message of the cross is a cruel message. Because the cross that Jesus Christ hung on and died for you and I, when they took him down, that cross was bloodstained. There was blood on that cross. There was blood where they drove the nails through his feet and his hands. There was possibly blood close to his side where they pierced his side. I'm sure there was blood where they pressed down upon his head the crown of thorns. You see, crucifixion is a cruel way of putting a person to death. It was a death sentence, but it was more than a death sentence in that it was death by torture, because the person who died on the cross died by suffocation. For those that sometimes struggle with different diseases where you have trouble getting your breath, you know how serious that is. You know what the panic is when you deal with not being able to get enough air. But for a person to die on a cross, when they would stretch them out, they would actually die by suffocation. Because what would happen is they could take air into their lungs, but they could not exhale. And what they had to do to exhale is they had to push pressure down on their feet and push their body up into a straight position in order to be able to exhale. And what would actually kill them if they hung there long enough is they would die by carbon monoxide poisoning and suffocation. That's why it was so much more cruel when they crucified Christ, because he was nailed to a cross and his feet and his hands were not tied to a cross like others. Now, folks, I want you to understand something. There's a song that we sang sometime, "He cared that much for my soul." Yes. That's how much Christ cares for you.
Amen.
He cared that much for my soul. You see, it was painful, and it was cruel, and it was brutal. You know, if you understand the Bible and history of what the Bible says, it says in the Old Testament that not one of his bones would be broken. Do you know that because they could not hang on the Sabbath day when they came by to where Jesus was at, and they went to this one on this side and they break his legs? The reason they broke their legs was because they did not want to allow them the ability to push up on that cross and to exhale. But when they got to Jesus, he was already dead, because it was fulfilled of the Scripture. But now here's what I want you to understand about the cross and Christ. It was cruel, but what I believe actually killed Christ was he died of a broken heart. You see, he took upon himself my sin and your sin, all the sin of the whole world, all the sin of those people who looked at him and said, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." All the people that would come, all the sins that would come. And when it was on him, and he felt the burden of it, that's when he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Or "Lama, Lama." He cried out to his Father. But I want you to understand something. God is holy and God can't look on sin. So for just a short period of time, God actually had to turn away from his Son. Because Jesus Christ took every sin that you and I and every person in the world ever committed, and he bore it on the cross. You see, it was cruel. It was a cruel message. But the cross is a condemning message. You see, the cross, and the reason people don't want it, the reason people don't like it, is the fact is it is a reminder of our condemnation. You see, the cross is a reminder that we are sinners. The cross reminds me that I'm not perfect. The cross reminds me that there are things in my life that others say is not right. You know, we're in a world today where people say, "I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to tell you, if we're created by God in the image of God and He created us and He died on the cross for us, being God, He has a right to say whether or not it's right or wrong for us. And people don't want to have that. That's why people don't want the cross. People don't want the Word of God, because the cross reminds us of our sin. The cross reminds us that we are guilty before God. You see, crucifixion was a penalty for sin. It was the death sentence. Passers-by, as they came by and they looked at those upon the cross, they would look at them with disdain because they were the worst. And oftentimes what is said is, well, they got what they deserved. I heard something this week about a person who was put to death for committing a crime in the 70s. And I thought, I don't understand that. That's a whole different topic, but it's a whole different thing. But when they took and they sentenced him, here's what happened. They took him out immediately and they thrashed him. And they took him straight up to this hill. And Jesus, the Bible says that he was in such a shape. You know, he went to the garden and he prayed, the Bible says, that until his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. And that is a physical condition. Then they beat him, they kept him up, they mocked him, they plucked out his beard. And he was in such a shape, I believe, had he not loved you and me the way he did, he wouldn't even have made it to the cross. You see, when we think of this and we look at the cross, you know, what are you doing with the cross? The cross reminds me that I'm a sinner. You see, the Bible says that crucifixion was actually a curse. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 13, it says this, "Christ hath redeemed us from the law, being made a curse for our sins. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22 to 23, it says this. It says, "If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for our inheritance." You see, here's what I want us to understand. Jesus bore our curse. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, the reason there were three crosses on the hill is because there was a man whose name was Barabbas. The Bible says that he was guilty of murder. He was guilty of robbery, of different sins that certainly they had built this cross for Barabbas. And it was customary that they release one to the people. And they brought forth Jesus and they presented him to the people. And the people said, "Away with him." And here's what the world cried. They said, "Give us Barabbas, but crucify Jesus." So Jesus actually went to the cross and he was crucified, not actually on a cross that was actually built for him, but he was crucified on a cross that was built for Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a guilty man. Could you imagine? As Barabbas was released and he walked out and he saw three crosses, he looked at the one in the middle and he knew for certain that that one actually belonged to him. You see, here's something to understand about the cross. And the cross also is a converting message. That cross was for me. You see, Jesus took our place on the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says this. It says, "For he hath made him," speaking of Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, here's what happened. We traded places. Jesus bore my sin on the cross. And now, according to what the Bible teaches, when I stand before God, when I pray, when I look up to heaven and cry out for help from God, that's why the Bible teaches us to pray in Jesus' name, not in our name because we're not worthy, but Jesus is worthy. What happens is God looks at you and I through the veil of His Son, and He sees us right through Jesus Christ, and we are accepted because what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. God help us that we never take down the cross. Can you imagine? And people are getting this way today. They're protesting. Take down the cross. They're saying it about the nativity scene. We don't want to see it anymore. How many times have we seen, we don't want the cross. We need the cross.
Amen.
It reminds us. You see, there's some things that were put on this cross. My sins were nailed to this cross. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, there's a verse that says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. You see, I know every day that I'm just a man, and I have to come before the Lord. As Paul said, I die daily. The Bible says that Daniel turned his face toward Jerusalem, and he prayed 3 times a day. You know, and Paul, if you read his writings, he understood that he was not perfect. He said, sometimes the things that I do, I don't want to do. And the things that I don't want to do, those things I do. And the Bible say in the book of 1 John that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And doesn't it say that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Here's what I want you to see. All of my past, all of my present, and even all of my future sins were nailed to that cross. And I come to Him. And I cry out to Him. And you know what He says? It's paid for. Paid for. It's under the blood of Jesus. You see, that makes the message of the cross. Sometimes people look at the cross and they think it's cruel. Sometimes it actually is. It's condemning. They don't like it. It's offensive. But I want to tell you, for me, the message of the cross is a comforting message. You know why, when I look at the cross and why we would wear a cross on our chains rather than, you know, not like a hangman's noose or an electric chair or something like that? Because when we touch that cross, it reminds us of what Jesus did for us. There's a little wooden cross that was given to me one time, and it had a little paper with it, and it had a little poem said, I carry a cross in my pocket. That's such a reminder to me, and it goes on to tell about what Jesus did. Now, I don't know, there may be somebody in here right now that's got a cross in your pocket. There may be somebody in here that's got one. If you notice the church right down the road on the left, on the right down here, they got the little crosses stuck in the ground. And a guy had a sign out there for a little while that they were saying, get one and put it in your yard. You know, the cross is comforting to me. It reminds me of what Jesus Christ did for me. It reminds me that He loves me. And He loves me just as I am. It reminds me that I'm forgiven of my sins. A person that needs forgiveness understands forgiveness. You see, sometimes people, they think, I'm okay. And sometimes I've witnessed to people, tried to talk to them. Well, do you know the Lord? Do you know the answer? I'm okay. Are you really okay? Say, I'm forgiven. The cross reminds me, I have mercy that's been showed to me. Now, I don't know about you, but I need mercy. See, I'm thankful that there have been more than one time in my life I didn't get what I deserved. See, the cross also is a reminder of me that I have been given grace, but that I can receive grace. Sometimes I need to look at the cross so that I can give grace. And can I say this? The church is the one place in the world, anywhere, that you should be able to go. And when you get there, you get grace. I don't sometimes understand why it's not looked at that way, because there's not a single person in here that's who you are or what you are outside of the grace of God. You see, it's a comforting message to me because all was completed on the cross. Now, here's what's good about the cross. When I look at the cross, I don't have to go to the cross and lay down everything that I've got financially and say, I hope this is enough that I can get into heaven. Can you imagine what that'd be like? You know how people, they spend their life, and you know, sometimes we get to the point that we got kids going to school and we're thinking about that. We're getting ready for retirement. We're thinking about that. Can you imagine knowing that you're coming up on the time that you're not going to be on this earth very much longer, and you look at your account and you say, you know, I just haven't paid enough in. I haven't been able to make enough money to pay for my salvation. Let me tell you, it's done. We don't have to do that. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to give enough. You just have to say, Lord, have mercy on me. You see, it leads to the next thing. The message of the cross is a calling message. There's a voice that's coming out where Jesus is calling people to himself. You see, he said in John chapter 12, verse number 32, Jesus said this. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." There's something about Jesus Christ that separates him from every other leader of every other religion in the world, and that's the Holy Spirit. So you can go into a Muslim temple, you can go into a Hindu temple, you can look at all the other religions of the world, and there will never be a drawing Holy Spirit that will knock on your heart's door and call you. See, when you look at the cross basically demands that you deal with it. It calls you to repentance, and it causes us, and it should cause us, to drop to our knees. Can you imagine being before the cross of Christ like Mary, like Martha, like Mary Magdalene, and even some of the disciples? Remember, if you read the story, when Jesus was on the cross, he looked at the disciple that was there with his mother Mary, and his mother was a young woman, and he said, "Behold thy mother, and woman, behold thy son." It was basically saying, "You take care of her. I won't be here anymore." Can you imagine being in that shape? Knowing you cannot bring Jesus down from the cross. Knowing that he had to go to the cross that the scripture be fulfilled. Knowing that he has to stay on that cross for mine and your sins to be paid for. Knowing, understanding what we do about the Word of God, that he could have called for 12 legions of angels and they would have come and delivered him. But he fulfilled the will of his Father. Can you imagine being in front of that cross and doing anything other than falling to your knees? And I think that's what every person should do at some point in their life. Is fall to their knees before the cross and say, "I accept the cross of Christ. I believe in the cross of Christ. And I must bow before the cross of Christ." Remember, there were three crosses on that hill. In Luke chapter number 23, there's a little bit of information that gives some detail about those three crosses. In Luke chapter 23 and verse number 39, it says this. It says, "And one of the malefactors, which is criminals, which were hanged, railed on him, on Jesus, saying, 'If thou be the Christ, then save thyself and us.'" And I want to stop there, and I want to tell you, people are doing that today. They say, "Well, if he's God, then why doesn't he do this and why doesn't he do that?" I'll tell you number one thing why God is not doing more than he's doing. It's because he's merciful to you and me. You see, because there are sometimes I get to thinking about heaven, and here's what I want you to know that I believe in what the Bible teaches about heaven. When we get there, we're going to be so satisfied. We're not going to be worried about the spring fling. We're not going to be worried about the men's banquet. We're not going to be worried about the women's banquet. We're not going to be worried about graduation. We're going to be rejoicing in perfection in the presence of God, in a place that's perfectly prepared for us, that when we get there will be beyond our comprehension. The Bible says, "Eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for us." Now, some of us got a little debate about whether or not we're going to be fishing in heaven. I had a very wise preacher tell me, he said, "The fishing is going to be so good you can whistle and they'll jump in the boat." Here's what I want you to understand. We're going to be satisfied. And we're going to be so enjoying it that it's going to be so beyond our understanding. And folks, that's what God has for us. We're not going to be here forever. We know that we're not going to be here forever. The older we get and the closer we get, the more we realize that we're not going to be here forever. But you know, people, if you look at it just like this criminal, he looked at him and said, well, if you're God, why don't you do this? Can I tell you, the Bible says, teaches in the book of Peter, but the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation to usward. What does that mean? How many of you here know somebody that needs God?
Amen.
Amen. Amen? Somebody needs to be saved. Somebody needs their heart right. Somebody's home is in trouble. And I just want you to understand something this morning. Everybody is not going to heaven.
Right.
It's those that are covered by the blood. What's covered by the blood? It's everything that you ask for covering for. It's just like that. He said, we preach you, you don't know what I've done. God does, and He's already nailed it to this cross. Every wicked sin, every crime, every murder, everything that anybody could have possibly done, He nailed it to that cross. So what's going to be covered? It's the things that you ask for covering for. What's not? It's the person that says, away with him. It's the person that says, crucify him. It's the person that says, I don't need God. I don't want God. I don't believe in God. Well, don't expect to spend eternity in heaven with God. You see, the malefactor, he said, if you be Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Folks, I want to tell you why I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because Jesus went to the cross. I'm not going to heaven because I've been in church my whole life. I'm not going to heaven because my daddy was a preacher. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm going to heaven because Jesus went to the cross. And because I said, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. Would you forgive me of my sins? You see, this man, he said, we're getting what we deserve. Aren't you glad we don't have to get what we deserve? Said, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And I want you to know that is all it took. Listen to what Jesus said. It says, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Say it, today. Today. I want you to understand something. When we're Christians and we have loved ones that die and they go out into eternity, that day they're with the Lord. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now here's what I want us to see for just a minute. There's not just one cross on the hill. There are three. The cross in the middle bore the Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He was without sin. He took upon Himself all of our sin. On one side there was a man who rejected Christ and he said, away with Him. I don't want nothing to do with Him. I don't want Christ in my life. I'm not going to have this man tell me what to do. But there was one on the other side that just humbly said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I want to tell you, the Bible said, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I want to ask them to come on and get ready to sing. I've just got a couple of more things that I'm going to speak on. I guess the question when we think about the cross and we think about dealing with the cross is, what are you going to do with the cross? You're going to be like the man that said, well, if He's God, why is this happening and why is that happening and what about this and what about that? Or are you going to be like the one that says, Lord, remember me? Folks, we don't go to heaven. We don't get to be Christians because we're worthy. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." It says, "That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." As you rise to your feet, and we're going to invite you to come. If you'd like to pray, you can pray where you're at, but the altars of this church are open. We believe in prayer. We believe in praying. We believe in opening the altar and allowing people to come pray. We have people who know God. If you'd like to, we'd be glad to pray with you. But what are you going to do about the cross? Do you need forgiveness? So many people ride down the road and I see them every day. $50,000 cars. $75,000 cars. Wear the finest clothes, eat in the right, finest places. But they're miserable inside. They're torn up because they don't have no peace. See, you can come to Christ and you can get what you can't get anywhere else. You get forgiveness that gives you peace. What are you going to do with the cross? As she sings, if you'd like to pray, would you please come?